Sorry for the brief interruption. I just wanted to speak on how shitty the quality of the audio is on this. I fell for one of those Instagram ads for those really cool looking black AirPods that are not made by Apple, and here's the version of the audio. It sucks. Keep enjoying.
What's up, everybody? This is Marco and Sergio.
How's it going, guys?
Cultivated Genetics, and we are at the Sacramento Cannabis Mixer. We're about to start up our panel here and get it cracking.
Nobody likes the lab. Everyone has to work with the animators.
All right, everyone. So we've got the main showcase here. This is pretty much the whole purpose of the event, was to get this panel in front of you guys. Sergio and I talked about doing this happy hour, and he came up with a fantastic idea for a topic about transparency and genetics. And it's really based on where he is in the beginning of the supply chain and his best practices of how carrying through the chain. And everyone up here represents a piece of that chain. We've got Matt from Two River Labs, who is his next stop down the chain. And then we've got Anna, who can represent and speak on where it goes after that, your distribution, your retail, your end user, right? So they're going to talk about how to carry transparency through the whole process from A to Z, and you're going to get a perspective from each part of the process. So I'm going to kick it off to you guys. Go for it.
Appreciate you having us, John. But hey, first off, let's get a round of applause for everybody here, right? Let's hear it. Wow, this is really cool, guys. And when John and I first started talking about why this is important for us to come out and just start building some friendships in this community, I mean, Sacramento is a hub for the cannabis industry, you know, and we're here to really help support that. And anything that we can do to help bring value is really what this is about. How do we help each other? So without further ado, I think, you know, coming off from Saswata's talk about blockchain technology, and he's still in the room. Yes, sir. I love that you actually touched on how blockchain can bring the transparency piece, because I think the cannabis industry really does have a lot of gaps in the transparency side of it. So one thing that we didn't touch on with your side of it was how the cryptocurrency could actually come into play from a transactional side of the cash handling. So the smart contract that you were talking about, I just want to get this little plug in there, because I think it's important for us to talk about cryptocurrency and how it's going to be able to, I guess, mitigate some of the cash handling challenges that we all face in this industry. So by being able to utilize a cryptocurrency, say from us as a nursery selling clones and selling it to the end user at a dispensary or at a cultivation operation, there's no cash distribution. It's all ran through the back end on a cryptocurrency. So that can really help alleviate.
Yeah, that's good. Very good.
Thank you,
sir. Because you have a supply chain, a distributor, and
that's right. Bingo. So I just want to make sure he got that plug on his on the technology side, because that's a really big important piece of what really attracted me and nerding out on the whole blockchain and coming into the cannabis industry. So, but without further ado, let's talk a little bit about genetics and how the supply chain side of it really comes into play. So this is Marco, the Vice President of Cultivated Genetics, and we're doing a indoor nursery, but not just any indoor nursery. We're starting our mother plants off from tissue culture plantlets. So I don't want to nerd out too hard, but tissue culture is basically the cleanest form of a regenerated plant. So there's a tissue culture lab partner that we have, Node Labs, and they've already done some work for some pretty reputable brands in the industry, Cookies, Connected, and Lemonade. So, you know, there's some notoriety behind that, and that's really what intrigued us about getting into the nursery space within a strategic aligned partnership and some of the other partnerships that we've, you know, accumulated along the way. So knowing that tissue culture plantlets are giving us that cleanest version of the start, now we can bring them into our nursery and run them through our current culture undercurrent system and really be able to just go with the traditional asexual propagation efforts. So now we're able to just provide a clean clone, but that's not where it ends. There's a gap in the industry right now, and from a California regulation standpoint, they don't require nurseries to provide test results. Blows my mind. They require everybody else besides the nurseries to provide test results, okay? So this is why it's important for us to understand that technology such as blockchain is going to be a very important part of how we succeed in this effort to really provide a clean, transparent clone. And that goes through all the different factors of the supply chain. But that's kind of where I got excited about this when I started talking with John about how this event can really bring us all together just to create awareness. I know we all kind of touch the industry in different formats here, and from the nursery side, we feel that we've got a lot of responsibility to be able to deliver on the clones, right? These these clones are going to be able to produce hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions of pounds of flower out in the market that get produced and manufactured in extracts or maybe even something different. But at the end of the day, we want to be able to provide a clean clone with third-party test results that we can load up into the QR code on our tray label that leaves our facility. It's our job to keep it clean, but it's your job to finish it clean. So we really want to ensure that that message isn't too salesy, but it really resonates, because when we have the ability to create change, that's what cultivated genetics is trying to accomplish. So I'm gonna step back off the soapbox for a minute. That was a long, long breath of air, but so we reached out to True River Labs, and that's really where we started understanding how we can accomplish this. So setting up a quick turnaround time for lab results is a big challenge, right? I think that's one of the biggest challenges that we've come across, and understanding your operation and how many different parts of testing that you guys are accomplishing. I'm going to go ahead and pass the torch over to you so you can kind of touch on and
about this testing that we're talking about that's not commonly done. Why is it so important, Matt? I mean, can you share with them like why pathogen testing is important, for example?
Well, I mean, the biggest answer I think everyone hears here. There's a lot of money involved, right? I mean, you wait, 14 weeks to find out that your kit failed? I mean, I can't tell you the call that I had to make that, and it sucks. I mean, I don't get any joy telling people your product failed, because it was pre-existent, actually, from the point it was actually cloned. We've actually tested clones from day one that was already had pesticides, already involved into the actual clone itself. And that's frustrating. You go through the route, you get to find a reputable clone, you plant it, you grow it, you get. And then you fail. You go, wait a minute. I don't use that pesticide. I've never used that pesticide. I've never done anything. You're a fucked up lab. Well, I'm sorry, but I'm the messenger, right? And I can guarantee there's nobody in this industry who's harder on themselves than myself in making sure we're perfect. I strive every single day to make sure we're delivering better and better results. And what we usually find is we start unraveling things is that, well, was it in the clone? Was it in the pathogen? You know, was it already predetermined? I mean, there's a lot of clones or a lot of, you know, even strains that are even to Aspergillus. They are more attractive to Aspergillus. Hopefully everyone's familiar with Aspergillus. That's one of the four things that we have to test for. That's what gets you that golden ticket. And how many times do you get a call saying your product failed for 90 or flavor? I mean, it's a shitty call, but some strains are just more prone to get it. And if we can identify that early on, you can say, yeah, especially from the batch, wait it. Kill the clone. It's much cheaper to pass on the clone and kill the line than it is to keep putting that product and someone buys it and then you got to retract it all. It's embarrassing for everybody. Yeah.
Tell us more about
R&D. Sure. R&D testing is, think of our basic R&D testing is taking a practice test in school. Right? When you always took a practice test, you took it over and over again, and then the teacher gives you a final. The R&D allows us as a lab to be very transparent. We can have every piece of communication with you from any realm of communication we want to. We can talk about it, we can show you the data, we can show you everything, no problem. The minute you go to the final test, it's just like full, right? You go to the BTC, you don't get to see anything. So I really encourage, it's not a money grab, I mean, it's actually what allows me to do is lift that veil and talk very openly with that customer. So if some of you are maybe coming online, some of you are trying to sell products online, you don't realize that once my driver picks up that product from the distro, the veil shuts. I know maybe some of you say, well, I've had labs talking, no problem. I got to get to that's not okay. The regs clearly state that the labs are not allowed to talk to the customer, they're not allowed to talk to the distro at all until the results are pushed to the actual BTC. So before that happens, I can do all the R&D talking I want. We can fine tune it, we can twist it, we can do whatever we need to make sure that we've got the proper matrix. Because with R&D comes a lot of different products. And as I was talking to somebody earlier, you get all the way from flower to depository. I mean, and trying to find a way to get that THC and that CBD extracted, sometimes we have to do a dilution, sometimes we have to do a straight shot, sometimes we have to do hexane, methanol, acetonitrile. Every product reacts differently to a different chemical. And with R&D, it really allows us to take that time and be patient with it.
Can I ask something and ask something, as a matter of fact? You know, nurseries, they're allowed to have the R&D side of that license, right? So having that R&D aspect of it with the clones and plants and whatnot, aren't you able to test those products and do your R&D? Because those aren't allowed to go to the commercial market. So ergo, you can find out what you're doing wrong with it before it even hits the lab. So you don't really need the lab testing for it. So I don't see the issue with the regulations with it not requiring tests and fire. If you're doing your R&D on your nursery level and it's going through the proper supply chain, why would you need to get it tested?
Well, here's what like one of the issues that we come across is, for example, we've talked to a lot of labs. We're looking for labs that could test for pathogens. Well, because it's not required in the reg, they just kind of look at us like, well, why would you do that? And then it was like, well, you know, we want to be above board. We're looking to the future. We've been cultivators in the past. We've had these issues. We've lost cash crops. And no one else is doing it. Like, why would you? And why isn't anyone else doing it? It's crazy, you know? So that's the reason why we want to do it, even though the rigs don't require us. If Chad over at Sapphire, you know, buys 2,000 plants from us, I want to be able to, on the same day that we cut his clone, I want to be able to take it over to Mac, have it tested, so that by the time that I'm delivering, I can show, here's a clean bill of health, plus it's in the blockchain, so anything that happens now, happens here. So, you know, so his grower can't say, oh man, it must have come from the nursery that way, bro, you know? It didn't.
Yeah, and to piggyback onto that comment, the actual transportation side of it is a big challenge. There's not many distributors or transporters that actually take care and ozone their truck bed or are not mindful about keeping the bed actually clean that's delivering our clean product. So it's the actual chain of custody that we're starting to see a huge gap of.
Might even affect the contamination.
There
or
you go.
Partake in the contamination.
That's a great example. I mean, I see that where, you know, sometimes when there's a fail and stuff like that, we see that most commonly when people say, well, you had cross contamination in the lab. I go, oh, shit. I mean, well, I take that very seriously. Right? Didn't see any cross contamination. And then I drive out to their facility, and they got dogs running around the property.
Okay.
They've got, you know, they're moving things by hand. There's no one gloved up. There's no one.
First
and I'm
of
like,
all, they've got dogs running around.
Holy crap. I'm like, wait a minute here.
They couldn't be animals. They're like,
right.
So anybody.
I got these guys moving with shovels, you know. And all of a sudden, my guys are sort of sterile. We're moving in a very sterile environment. And we're very clean. Like, so anyway, you're saying for the little nug that I dropped over here was cross contaminated. But you're over here, you know. So if we can identify that early and have vendors and people holding each other accountable and say, okay, it's been clean, it's been sterile all the way through the process. This is a wicked game, you know, BPC has put us up against. I mean, it is. The regs are written great. I mean, we are the hardest regulated state.
Right.
I mean, by far. I don't know if anyone's read 138 pages of it, but it sucks. You know, and I've read it probably, what, half a dozen times, and I still find new nuggets in there that are just driving me nuts. I'm like, oh, shit, I missed that one, I think. But it's just constantly evolving, and guess what's going to happen next year? Another reg's going to come out, another reg. So the sooner you can get on board with good vendors, good partners, I'm telling you, you can just reach those kids all the way through, and you just have confidence that was all the way from the cultivation or the, you know, clones all the way to the actual final product itself. Man, I'm telling you, if I do that, I love sleeping at night. And that's what I try to do with our partnership. We really try to build that relationship early with the R&D and say, guess what, if we can build that R&D, I'm not going to guarantee anything because there's too many unmoving parts in the back end that I can't guarantee, but I will think we have a better shot at getting past, and we will be there to the end. It'll be a partnership to the end, and it's not just a, hey, you failed, fuck you. It's going to be like, oh, shit, let's identify this first, and let's get it cleaned up. Now it's just passed. Let's get the product moving on itself and making some money.
So I will represent the dumb customer, you know, like I think I've been to the club maybe five times in my life, but then today I have to nine on the way here to the event. So it's funny to me, I actually was going to do my first delivery order like a week ago with my roommate, and we were looking, it said on the app, like, if the weed that they were selling was tested or not. And I, 10 years ago, when I had to have my buddy from high school dropping off my weed, I didn't ask him to test that. He just said, hey, we're going to get this. It smells good, you know. So it kind of woke me up a little bit. I'm like, oh, this is tested, but I know if I go into the club, you know, if I go to Harvest Side or whatever, you know, there's all these data points accessible to me. The customer, like, oh, wow, it came from here. It's like going to a winery and you know where the grapes came from, and you know where they were sourced and who distributed it. It's cool to get fancy in the wine industry. I told my mom the other night, like, you know, mom, we like wine now. You know, it's like, don't think of it as like alcohol, it's like weed. Or it's like wine. But looking at that delivery app, I can see that there's a way to test it, has not been tested. So it's like, well, I don't know where this came from. And it caused an awareness or an alarmness to me to be like, well, do I
Do I want to pay $25 for that state? Or should I just go to the club and spend $60 on a good aid? Like, that I know where it came from. So can you guys speak on the point of, from this perspective, what it means to the customer, not just in the industry, but, you know, coming in this era where it's becoming so mainstream, like, what trends do you see moving forward where that's going to become like a necessity on behalf of the producers?
I mean, it's funny, you bring up that example, right? I mean, you all think, like, what, 4 or 5 years ago, we were getting, our marijuana, and getting whatever it was, but cannabis, and I didn't know the word marijuana, but we were getting our cannabis from our dealers, and we were going, hey, what's the pesticide count on this, you know?
Yeah.
We were like, fucking light it up and let's go, right? And we weren't even talking about really THC at that point. We were just fucking putting trust in it. Now, all of a sudden, right, we enter the regs, and all of a sudden, we have to have transparency, and we care about heavy metals, and we care about mycotoxins, and we care about all these things that are going to kill us, you know, from a plant that actually heals us. But enter that is, yeah, you have to start being, what the consumer's going to want is more information. Bottom line, they want more information. As much as they want to be ignorant to what they're ingesting, there's a side of them that says, what really am I ingesting? And really through the partnerships and getting these products and really entertaining cannabis into the 21st century, if not going into the 22nd century, if we're going to be there pretty soon, is we've got to start putting this product forward. And the more products you can put in the cloud, the more products you can actually interlink with each other. We as a lab, we've already integrated ourselves into the cloud. We're 100% in the cloud. If you come into my server rack, I've got literally a high-speed connection, and a switch, and that's about it, and a shooter board. That's it. Because I figure what we're going to need is more APIs, more blockchain, more always integrating with other tools. So we already set that up. So I'm just fine. We're just fine to raise just integrating, plugging into other pieces. Mm-hmm. We've got Azure in the cloud. We're going to be putting Power BI in place, you know, so we're connected with data. And so people like who want to test and they can actually see a product and get more information, they can go out to a website and actually get all of the raw data from that actual strain and be more informed. The days of being ignorant are gone. You just don't have any excuses anymore.
If I have a product and it's tested through your lab,
yep.
This is the more
has that ever happened?
Well,
let's pretend somebody got recalled. Awkward. Right.
So, actually, his reaction was appropriate for your question because for a licensed lab to let something like that pass and go to the commercial market, and for a consumer to receive that product at a retailer, and then for whatever reason, he brought it back and it was dictated that there was a lab issue, at that point that's a license and DCC issue, because the DCC has issued a license to his laboratory. And so that's not your liability, and it's not, and it's that's a DCC and lab kind of, it's subjective and it's case by case. I don't think that'll ever happen. We've had one.
Right. Unfortunately, too soon.
Yeah.
Too soon into the start line.
Definitely. But, you know, you're going to have your martyrs. You know,
yeah.
But that shouldn't happen. Yeah.
But, you know, you can. I would say go after the lab.
Yeah.
They do something stupid like that. I'm sorry, but, yeah, we should be held accountable.
Is there a competitive advantage,
by a show of hands, who here shopped at Whole Foods?
I prefer Safeway.
For the podcast, pretty much every hand is about 95% of hands is up in here. California is moving towards an organic cannabis process, right? There's a certification that we're a part of on the board. It's moving that way. They're looking to adopt the current agricultural organic certification, but there's a lot of nuances that doesn't translate into the cannabis world so easily. As a hydroponic nursery, we're not exactly organic, but the finished product could be cleaner than the organic nursery that's growing in soil. So there's a lot of things that we're challenging on, and to go back to your point, does this actually make sense, and should we be, who's liable? We want to be able to start off from the supply chain side from the get-go so that there's accountability every step along the way, including the transporters. So
yeah, I think the biggest issue with the whole plants not required to be tested. Yeah, we've got that disclaimer, it hasn't been tested, but it's the consumer, like yourself, who's going to end up buying that plant from the dispensary, and it's not tested.
Right.
But ultimately, the way I look at it, I guess back to like a business perspective too, is if I'm going to have plants, and I'm going to sell clones, and I'm going to sell to the manufacturer, whoever, grower, manufacturer, whatever, it's just GMP at this point, right? Mm. Good. Wait,
yeah.
Good business practice is what I meant. Like, you want to build that relationship, you want to establish that. So if you're going to screw the guy and sell him bad stuff, and it's going to get to the point where it's grown and you've got, you know, harvest and everything, and then it gets sale, that sort of thing, you're never going to have that client back, let alone anything else, let alone keep your license any further, to be real. So it's at the end of the day, you're not going to last. So you want to grow the proper product from the start, from the get, so that you can last long in this industry. It's the only way.
A certain amount of product comes to the testing point and it does impact. What happens to that? It gets cleaned up and a silane or something that pulls from another fortification, they make extract out of it. What happens to that fortification?
Yeah, I don't know if anybody, I can answer and you guys fill in the gaps, but I mean, basically a couple things can happen, right? Depending on what type of fail it is, right? So within the regulations, there's always kind of category one, category two, right? Category ones are basically the death sentence. You know, if you're going to have a category one fail, you're done. You know, that's it. It's kind of at that point, there's not much remediation at that point. Category twos have a bit of better chance, especially around like micro and stuff like that. You can usually take like a bulk flower and turn it into a distillate, turn it into an oil and stuff like that. But basically what happens is you just write a remediation plan. Say, hey, I've got a product and I actually had a category one fail. And what they did was they just reduced it.
They thinned it out. The point where it was dropped below, low enough to where BCC says it's okay to pass. You know, BCC doesn't have a secret number. It's not like 0.00000.
It's basically what the BCC says, it's below the limit of detection. We have our limit of detection drawn, and if it falls below that, guess what? It's a non-detect. That's as simple as that. It's a simple for that. So just because you have a fail doesn't mean it's a destroyed batch. So we've had a few customers where they said, oh my God, the world's over. Fuck you motherfuckers. And I just lost $60,000. I'm like, they're immediate. And so that's where kind of being that extra lab and saying, hey, let's educate you, fill out this form, remake this, do this. And they're like, really? I'm like, yeah, just submit it. If they approve it, redo it, and we'll retest it, and we'll pass. And that's where it kind of, there's always a path forward. The loss is not always a loss. And it really kind of depends on what the fail is.
So that's transparency.
That's the transparency. And that kind of goes back to my, what's your reaction with the lab? I mean, I don't know if any of you guys are working with labs or anything like that, but when you call up the phone and you really want to deal with them, what's their response? So they call up and say, when you challenge something, you say, hey, I'm expecting kind of 85% on this liquid or this, you know, concentrate, and you got me 78. What's their response? Do they say, hey, 78, it's up to you. Or do they say, you know what, let me take a look at it. And I can guarantee you, I hope to God, if you ever call up my phone number, and call the lab, we will be on it and 100%. We'll say, let's take another look at it. I can guarantee we had a run just the other day, full transparency. We've been talking about it. Like, God, these posting numbers are acting weird. And we went back to the drawing board, and our team round robin, and we're like, and we turned out it was a bad pipette. That was all it was.
Wow.
So we identified early before we pushed in QAs, and we asked the customer, we need another day, give us another day, and it's that simple. That's the type of reaction what I think. What type of reaction do you get? And because ultimately, what the labs have to do is they have to be that business partner. Is you have to be that lab to listen, to educate, because as much as we want to be right, I mean, if you ever met a scientist, we always want to be right. You know, we always want to be right. You never want to be such out loud, I screwed up. But what you want to hear is, hey, let me check it out. Let me see, let me get another test. And there's been times that we've ran it, we've got the same number. There's been times where we ran it, and yeah, you're right. You just diluted it. Thank you for that. And that's the type of relationship I would push forward.
But if you can't remediate, there's always destruction, and that happens
at
different locations. Yeah, that's the process. Yeah.
So I did have a customer like that. We had a customer like that. We failed it. It was an after build. It sucked. It was a Niger issue, and they destroyed it. We called them up and said, you know, a couple weeks later, we said, hey, how are you doing? Because I'll be honest, every fail we give, as much as it hurts to call, we call every single fail because we want to tell you exactly what it is, what's going on, how to remediate, if you can remediate. And it took us a little bit to get back to the customer and called, and all of a sudden they said, oh, I already scored the batch. It's been a week. You had 30 days.
Why did you fight for that? I don't know what, if they really did destroy it, honestly.
Yeah.
I think it got destroyed out the back. Right? We're not fucking stupid here. You know, but it's like, give me a break. No one's going to destroy that much. And it was just heartbreaking. I'm like, these guys could have remedied it.
Yeah,
they blamed
it.
Us. They blamed us.
They burned it.
It was our fault.
Right.
And they refused to work with us ever again. I'm like, it is what it is.
Back to good business practices.
Yeah.
And then,
but if they would have called up and said, hey, you know what's going on here? Like, we would help them, 100%. We just were a little slow because we're so packed, we're so busy, we just took a little bit longer to get back to them. But Julia over here, Julia's with Kruger Labs. You'll hear from her or myself, or you know, we'll call. Because we want to talk and help you educate and get you through the process.
What's the margin of error for you guys for potency purposes? What's
5%. Yeah, we run everything in duplicate. So it's very costly, I'll admit. That's a good question to ask. Yeah, so like, you want to ask us, how do you run your validation? We all run CCDs, we all have curves, but we have two things. We have we always run a duplicate, so we do pipetting efficiency, so that way we identify what's going on with the pipetting skills itself. And then we also have a control, something that we tested over and over and over again that we've done. We've done that so many times that we know exactly the number of hits, and we put that in our service as well. And so that's, we have a 5% margin of error. If we have 5%, we know where it's in it. Once it hits 6, redo. It's killed, and we redo it. That's how tight we try to run it.
Tobacco?
Tobacco? I'm not familiar with that one.
I heard tobacco, and I'm already like, no, we're not getting that anymore.
No, it's
not. If you look at, like, the seed catalog, like Gurney or whatever, they like these tomatoes, have
passed
tobacco
mosaic virus. Gotcha. I see what you're saying. Yeah, we don't test for that. So that is not even on our radar.
Okay.
I'll be honest with you, we are a CCC lab. You know, we can do other things. We can do some amazing things as an R&D, but when it comes to COA, if it's within those breaks, that's all we test for.
It's how many
Oh, there's 66 pesticides, there's 4 heavy metals, there's 6 micros. There's about 100 matrices that we test for.
So
overall, everything.
So Matt, if I can piggyback onto that, Pathogen DX technology, right? So this is something that there was a lot of different tests that we were trying to come up with that were not being covered in the actual regulations. Talk a little bit about Pathogen DX or maybe the other technologies that you've come across that can test for a world of things that we didn't even think of.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. We are. Micro is an interesting topic in itself, but Pathogen DX actually does a lot of things for us. It does allow us some flexibility within the cartridge itself and allow us to test different outside of micro. So Pathogen DX does have but basically they have kits outside of just microbial. So we can actually do environmental tests, we can actually do all these little swabs, we can do all these things. So you're looking at a lab right now, we've got two platforms that we run. We have actually 3, but we're beta testing a third platform. And that's how severe I'm trying to make sure that we've got always the technology, and we're doing PTs in our micro at the same time. So we're actually holding all the vendors accountable. So I'm actually not cited on any particular brand. I've got PDX, I've got Bio-Rad, and right now we're testing medicinal genomics. And I can tell you right now, I will go toe-to-toe with them every day and talk to them and say, you're not doing your job, you need to step up the game, you need blah, 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 whatever it is. Because ultimately, you guys, representing the audience right here, is the ultimate customer. Mm-hmm. You're the one who pays the price, right? These companies that sit out there and sell their products, and we get convinced somehow to buy them and say, basically, this is the right result, the ownership's on me. You know, and I can also say that I take it very personally. So PDX has been a great company to work with as far as communication. You know, I've been able to really call them up and call them out on certain things, and they've responded very, very well. They allow a lot of flexibility, and these kits are phenomenal when it comes to allowing the flexibility of all these different environmentals, the pathogen tests, the tests, the micro tests, and stuff like that. So.
And the speed of these tests are relatively quick, right?
PDX is the only one in the market right now that can actually do same-day results. You know, Bio-Rad and MG is always, there's an incubation period, so it always requires me 36 hours to do that. We do have one approved methodology, but at the same time, I'm constantly making sure and validating, is this correct? you know, is it a hit? Is it really a hit? And I cross-platform it. And that's why I'm bringing MG in.
That wouldn't help. That wouldn't hurt at all.
Micro is an interesting shitstorm. Excuse me, I'm a big puzzle when it comes to this.
I think we all are. We can't do it without.
Micro is like a hot blade in my brain. It drives me nuts because all these microbials, right? That's what Joel Snyder. Whoever owns this place, I'm sorry, but this place is covered in it. It's everywhere. And you can't run from it. And that's why when you feel like it is kind of a planet. It's like opening a house. Now, potency, heavy metals, pesticides, that stuff we can get for you.
But what it gives to me is up on guns.
Exactly. The veil shuts. I run my test, and I submit the results to the distro, and then you as customer see the results.
So I'm going to read stuff.
If you're a retailer, you wouldn't ever see the product.
The product comes to yourself.
The only time you would see it, you'd be impacted if it's a recall.
Yeah.
But if your distro comes talking to you and says, I need all that product down. Because you'd be calling.
Yeah.
But that's the good news.
After you bought the distro in your house.
Yep.
Can you provide, for example, if you want to make sure that
so to give you, I guess, some sort of insight, we're Southgate Consulting, and what we do is we're like a full-spectrum compliance company, right? So we're kind of like the compliance team that you should have in your company without the overhead and the employment issue. That said, do we look at the packaging? Do we give you lists? Do we give you training logs? Do we make sure your employees are on point? Do we make sure all of your, we have our OSHA certified trainer over here who does the 30-hour classes in Sacramento and throughout the state. Do we do all, we do the full concept. So yeah, if you want to ask any questions or if you want an updated list, and we keep you updated with the regs through the state of California and outside of California as well. We talk about, as a matter of fact, we've got our team here, and all these girls are pretty badass.
This is a great topic, like compliance. There's so much that goes into compliance, just getting through the application phase. And it was a tremendous resource for us. So just understanding that there's so many things that we don't know. This is the first time talking about microbials, talking about setting up a corporate structure. There's just a lot of stuff that has to happen from a startup, right? Especially once the BCC, the CDFA, whatever entity that your designation is kind of going around, talk to the consultants. Like, there's so much value that you've provided us. I really hope that everybody has the opportunity to reach out and just ask. And that's it. This is a community, guys. Like, we're really trying to just open up the doors to everyone and how we can bring value.
That's a good point. This game is to work smarter, not harder.
Yeah.
Right. You know, outsourcing is critical because it's so easy to hire somebody and say, okay, you're the compliance guy or compliance lady. It's impossible.
Yeah.
By the time that person ramps up and gets proficient, your license is already in full. I hate to say it. It takes that long. And to be able to take that experience, I mean, I wish I had somebody from the. I mean, we hired consultants and got us going, but it still took an army.
Yeah, right. No, it does. I mean, our team is a team of now 5 girls outside of myself, and each of them is specialized in one area. And it takes a minimum for one operation 5 girls to do this. So 5 people. I just prefer a women firm. Sorry, but like I said, they specialize. Nonetheless, it does. It's not just, you know, here are the regs, follow them step by step. That's not it, because now you've got 7 disciplines in one city, 7 different departments that are looking at your operation, and they want you to follow all of this checklist from each department. Then you've got your state. Then you've got just anything that's moving fast. It's like, I think one of our clients had used the reference, you're changing a tire and driving a car at the same time.
Yeah.
So one person compliance, and for me, for compliance, it started when I was actually with Solas and I was doing the distribution. I didn't even start in compliance. I got in the soap pool and my brother pulled me in there.
Your energy is very modest. You have to go to the largest retail company in
California. Yeah. Divide and conquer, Joe. Divide and conquer.
Mission accomplished.
everybody that I have a degree in accounting. I can't even do basic math. I got a degree in journalism. It's like, it's not, I write. But when I got into the distribution aspect, I saw all things compliance and the need for it. And I saw this back in April of, I think it was like 2017 or one of those. But I remember it was April because he didn't let me go down any of the site commemoration that year. So I was really upset. But I started looking at the really, really big need for compliance, and we didn't, as an enterprise, we didn't understand and value that, in my opinion. We didn't just understand the capacity of what it's going to take. And so that's when, it was actually like July, and I remember telling his partners who, you know, I was working for at the time, and I told him, I was like, guys, we were at that point 8 people at in our distribution company, just a distribution one, and I told him, I was like, by January, we're going to need about 50 employees for your distribution facility. By January 1st, we had 49 employees. And each of them serves a serious purpose. A few of them are from that facility that I actually posted. But nonetheless, yeah, that's how serious compliance is. Yeah. Distribution is compliance in cannabis. When people say, I want to open up a distribution company in cannabis, I'm like, it's not alcohol. It's not just tobacco. It's not cigarettes. It's everything. Mm-hmm. It's everything meshed in one, and it's just a craziness. So you have to have a full-blown team who knows how to execute. It's a mess.
Yeah.
It's a lot. Yeah.
When you're dealing with government agencies, they don't come and say, hey, you're doing this wrong, you're doing this other. They may, if you're friendly and stuff like that, but trust me, what you don't realize is that they're building a case against you in the back end. They're watching for you.
Yeah.
And they want to snap that trap on top of you. I have no idea why. It seems like it would be easier to pick up the phone and say, hey, I think you're doing this wrong, you might want to correct it. But, again, they think we're already guilty. We're the bad guy. We're the guys that came out of the
stigma.
It's a stigmatism.
Yeah.
And so, unfortunately, that's how it goes. And so what you have to do is be clean from day one. It's fine, the tightest shit you can, because little infractions they can get away with.
Yeah, and then imagine when they get rid of you after you pay your application fees, you know, they've got room for someone else. In Sacramento alone, I believe we have 400 DOT applicants currently.
Yeah,
Sacramento, right? If that, you can attest it. Just about. And when you think about that, in other cities and other jurisdictions, you get capped at like 20 and 30 applicants or licenses or types. In Sacramento, we have 400 current applicants. That still blows my mind every time I say it out loud. But all of those applicants have, and none of, like, not all of them are my clients yet, but please, tell your friends. You can take care of them.
Real quick to circle back around you. So the mosaic virus is not something that's going to affect someone if they smoke it. It's going to affect your crop. What it's going to do is it's going to spread through your entire crop, and it's going to cripple it. And you're not going to get, if you do flower, you're not going to get the flower that you intended to. And that's probably why there's that on the seeds that it's been tested for that, because it'll do the same thing to any plant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We
pay
a couple $100 to $1,000
Yeah.
Very good.
I won't say who, but a major nursery about 2.5 years ago, they're out during, just after outdoor season, it was discovered they had to recall a couple thousand, 100,000 of their clones that they sent out because of mosaic. So yeah, it's nasty. But that's why we test before any of our clones go out the door. That's why we use the pathogen DX.
Yeah,
that's why we're
the PDX system will pick it up on
them. Yeah, that's why we're partnering with the
It's pretty sophisticated. It's a pretty nasty
virus. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just like asbestos, though, it's common enough that we know how to test for it now. Mm-hmm. And to be fair, I want to go back to the resources point. Matthew McGregor from SMUD is gracious enough to join us today. I just want to talk a little bit about what Matt brought to the table in sense of value. So Matt actually operates, let's tee it up. Go ahead and tell us what you do for SMUD and how you helped cultivate it. No problem.
Experiences with those different companies in law enforcement and your facility, but the ties have changed.
And at some point, we are looking at some hiring. We have another commercial customer that are as well. The legitimate businesses that are coming forth are really looked at as partners. We want feedback to help you best serve you. So people like gone back and forth over the last 2.5 years. It's been great so far, and I only look for that to be in the next couple of years. So one of the best programs that we had explored was just being interviewed for different facilities. It does mean something different for each of the facilities, whether or not you are in a lab or a cultivation or an extraction facility. You're using power, you're using some type of system, but there could be a better way to do it without sacrificing quality or quantity. And increase your bottom line. And really, that's what it's all about, is making yourself a sustainable business. When I talk about sustainability, it's not always about planting trees or being green, but it's being viable in the next 3 to 5 years, overcoming your real competition, overcoming the illicit market. So part of that energy efficiency program was actually looking into the process to determine what is more energy efficient. Is there underutilized or emerging technology that we can explore together, or that we can learn together on? And what does that look like from the incentive? I'll pay you up front. You can install more efficient technology. And then what does that look like long term for your energy? Your invoices as well. That's
perfect. Yes. You encompassed a whole lot there, which is great because it's just creating awareness around the municipalities being able to help us. And we actually got a really nice rebate to actually utilize LED lights in our nursery. So, you know, there's a lot of resources that we have at our disposal, and just understanding people are here to help. And Matthew was a fantastic resource throughout the actual build-out process because you came in and you kind of walked the facility with us and guided us towards the right purchase as well on those LEDs. So it's great.
Any other questions around transparency or genetics or testing or compliance?
What can I refer out of your lab for testing? Say, our
For if you're doing potency, we can knock out one in a couple of days, you know, stuff like that. You know, we try to ask because if we rush it too fast, QAQC is a very important part of our process. If it's a full panel, you know, 3 to 5 days. You know, right now we're running pretty fast right now. We're doing a pretty good job, and we're pushing through a lot of samples. But one thing we try to really do is we try to slow things down for QAQC. If they don't do their job, it always backfires.
Like for clone testing to see if we have anything to worry about with the clone testing, how would that go? Do you a full clone or a leaf cutting, or how would that?
We can take either one. We can do full clone, homogenize it up, and we can blend it up. And mostly, basically, think about it, every test requires about 1.5 grams of material.
Or even a little cut off the root ball of the mother plant.
Yeah, that's a great one. That's a great way to do it. You know, so like that. So we do need enough mass in there. It's actually going to validate the test, but it's not too much. You need 2 grams. And I already told you, if you do give a solid line, our pricing, I hope, one thing that we try to really do is get ahead of the pricing model. We've been very affordable. We're very competitive within the market. So, because what our ultimate goal is to help you on the R&D, like, we're not going to gouge you in the beginning, and we're not going to gouge you on the back end. It's really just like, we want you to buy because the more successful you guys are, and the more price you're selling, guess what? That means we're doing our job and everyone's happy.
Q&A, guys. Any questions, comments?
For us, we're right off of Norwood. So if you're familiar with Sacramento. Yeah, so we're right off of I-5 and 80. So right, everyone's first familiar with Troxel.
Yeah.
North Kate area. We're just the next exit.
Yeah.
Right off of exit. Really easy to get to. Two River Lab. Yeah, if you Google Two River Lab or QRL, that's us. I was honestly about a week ago, I said Southern California, but I was approached by a customer who literally said, I will fly you to Southern California to work with me, and I said, okay. So we're now servicing LA.
Oh, yeah.
Whether I like it or not, I'm now servicing LA because they made me an offer I couldn't refuse. And so I am now statewide, unfortunately. Yeah, we've been a company for about 2 years. We've officially opened for just about a year now. We're coming up on our 1-year anniversary. If anyone's tried to open a business, cannabis business in Sacramento,
You understand the math. So it's we're very fortunate to be open. I'm very grateful. But yeah, we've been open for about a year now. We'll be open at the end of September. We'll be 1 year. Thank you.
All right, well, I'll call it. Let's get another drink. Guys, I hope you like the format. Just can't tell you like what we intend to do on the next round.
Hey, what's up, podcast cultivators? I just wanted to say thank you so much for taking the time to listen through this shitty audio quality, but I really hope that you did get some information and value out of this discussion. We really look forward to having you guys at the next one that we have up in the Sacramento area. But this next audio segment is more of a download with myself and John, the host of the event, just putting some afterthoughts together and just setting the stage for the next event and what our takeaways were from this one. Listen up. Thank you. What's up, Cultivated family? So I'm sitting here with John Gracia, host and moderator of the Tulip Sacramento Cannabis Mixer, first inaugural, August 2019. So John, talk to me a little bit about what your thoughts are about how the event actually turned out, the show up, the overall flow of how it went down.
Yeah, you know, it was a total experiment from the beginning. We'd never thrown an event in Sacramento before, let alone for the cannabis industry, but I have a lot of friends and contacts such as yourself, and we kind of threw the idea around about having just like a really informal meetup mixer that didn't feel stifey or, you know, didn't have any like really forced content, and nothing against that. We just thought maybe we could do a grassroots promotion style happy hour event and get, you know, maybe 40 or 50 people, and it worked out.
It did. I mean,
the whole idea behind it was really just to get a conversation driven from a panel of sorts, but not like I'm sitting in a chair watching this. Like, let's have the crowd and the panel speakers interact. And the conversation was really, really, really down to earth, and everybody was able to speak up, and there was a lot of great back and forth. So I think what we set out to do was accomplished.
I couldn't agree more, man. I think really what happened was, it was a Q&A, but a comfortable discussion around some of the challenges and some of the questions that are really looming in the cannabis industry. And I know we kicked it off with the first panelist speaker, which, you know, really was all around blockchain technology and understanding how that form of technology and cryptocurrency can really benefit the cannabis industry from the trackability standpoint, but really just providing transparency around each stage of the supply chain. So that was really cool, but that really led off the panelists that were speaking on the following section with the trust and transparency around genetics, right? The kind of like the 24andMe type of topics, but that was really cool. I love that people were asking questions throughout the panel. And that's what was cool about this, was we weren't really just sitting up there talking about our brands or whatever we were doing. It was generating conversation. And I think the more awareness that we can create around cannabis and the industry in California as it's starting to come up and its infancy stages, there is a ton of questions. And I know Michael from Two River Labs was talking about this, that he wishes that there was somebody he can pick up the phone and ask questions if they were trying to start a testing facility, a lab. I completely agree. And that's really what we're focused around too.
Definitely.
We want to be a resource. We want to be a resource for people to just hit us up, right? We want to help you get through this journey, because the more stronger the community is, the more thriving that business is actually accomplished. Now we're in an actual stage of coming out of prohibition and being able to actually scale our brands, but really prepare for the legalization aspect. That's really cool about this, that there's so much questions about around legalization, but federal legalization, might I add. So
I honestly think that Sacramento's got probably one of the most prepped for boom territories in the whole cannabis industry right now. In my opinion, I see more like people representing the culture just walking around the town than any other town I've ever been to. And that doesn't get unsupported by the fact that there's great advertisement allowances in the city where you can put a billboard up within two or three blocks of your club and direct people towards it. And that's definitely something you don't see in the Bay Area. So that makes Sacramento really unique. And I think in LA, it's all about, you know, the brand identity and you know, the transparency between what they're offering as a brand. But out here, people are willing just to, like, let it out and really support their business endeavors. And there's something kind of industrial in the social nature of this town. I think this was a good opportunity to uncover that and let that be the backbone of these types of conversations.
Yeah, man, I'm really pumped about this, because the more awareness that we can create, especially in Sacramento,
because there's, I think there was an average of, there was a number thrown out during one of the panels, about 400 BOP applicants, business operating permit applicants in the cannabis industry in Sacramento alone. I'm going to repeat that, 400, okay? So it's mind-blowing how the Sacramento hub is really going to be a pioneer of the cannabis industry itself, and how we actually be, how can we actually help others scale their brands and be able to just create some transparency and just bring value to each other. I think that's really crucial in this stage of the game.
Camaraderie comes in the early stages of a new industry, and it's happening here, and it's pretty fun. I was telling you earlier, it reminded me of the snowboard boom in the mid to late 90s with, right? I mean, if you followed the sport before it was Olympic and before, you know, everyone knew about Shaun White, you know, there was like this cool little nook of a territory where people were expanding creative brand ideas. And I've actually seen more creative brand ideas in this industry, especially focused in this area, than not even business method wise, but right, just branding wise. I've seen some really cool stuff. And it makes me feel like I'm holding a nice bottle of wine when I'm holding a nice pre-roll now, right, you know? And so I think that's fun. And I think the last time I saw this happen, I saw how it went into more of a corporate nature down the road when mm-hmm. things conglomerate. And that's sure. going to happen here too. So let's do it together for the right reasons, you know, and let's kind of carry the conversation on maintaining your style while you're still activated on making sure everything's tight.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. And one of the things that was cool about this event is that it was so, it was lax, right? Like, yeah, we had some panel speakers. However, it was a very just open free flowing format where it was comfortable. You know, yeah, people were engaging and asking great questions, and a lot of value came out of the discussion that we actually brought up. So what's stage two of this? Like, can we expect to have this event monthly, by any, I don't know. Like,
we'll kind of do at this point by demand. I mean, from the first event, we have two speakers for the next one set up already. So we just need to pick a date and a place. One thing we like to do with Tulip is pick really cool venues, but we also like to switch it up. So we're always looking for new and cool stuff, but you know, you'll find yourself back at one of the old properties again if you keep going. It's kind of like reading a good book. You remember things about the previous story. Well, we're going to carry different conversations into different places. They may be the same or different, but they'll always be really interesting.
Yeah.
So just showing up, you're going to have a good night. And we keep things really chill, and there's always an educational aspect, but it's for the purpose of creating the conversation in the room.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's instead of sitting down and watching someone speak and then talking, it's the you combine those two throughout the course of the night, like in a blend.
It certainly worked, man. But I kudos to you, John. Like, this was a successful inaugural event. High five, homie. Love it. But it definitely worked. I look forward to the next one and see how we can provide value to the cannabis community. And you know, again, guys, if you're listening to this, please join us for the next Sacramento Cannabis Community Mixer, and you know, we'll hopefully get a chance to meet and see how we can bring value and share the stories. We're all in this together.
Thanks for coming to the next event, guys.
Cheers, everyone.
Yeah. Let's walk away.